Hi, friends, and welcome to the Root and Rise podcast. My name is Brianne, and with each episode, I intend to plant some seeds of insight, help you water them with love, and send you off with a little extra light to help you root and rise. Today, we are talking about how to handle your toddler hitting using gentle and respectful parenting techniques. But first, I would like to acknowledge you, my listener and friend, for being here with me today. You are the reason for this podcast. I appreciate your presence, and I'm really excited to help you root and rise. The listener that inspired today's episode wishes to remain anonymous. If you have any questions for me, if any of my episodes bring up any thoughts that you would like clarification on, you can head over to Root and Rise Podcast on Instagram or TikTok and send me a message asking your question. Just like today's, it could end up inspiring an episode, and I am more than happy to honor any anonymous requests. So, today's question is, how are we redirecting during hitting or being mean phase? My 18-month-old just started smacking when he would get upset when I would tell him not to do certain things, and now he's just doing it for fun. I tell him no, and he just laughs and continues. I'm trying my best to break generational curses and do the gentle parenting thing, but I'm stumped at this point. I think that I can speak for all toddler parents out there when I say solidarity. Toddlers and their big feelings are super challenging for us to navigate. They don't have the vocabulary, experience, or coping skills yet and rely on us to help walk them through these big emotions. First, we need to regulate ourselves as parents. We need to know that this behavior is developmentally normal. This phase is something that all toddlers go through, and it's just that, a phase. Honestly, if your toddler didn't have meltdowns or handle their emotions in inappropriate ways from time to time, I'd be concerned. Really understanding and accepting that this behavior is both expected and developmentally normal for all toddlers at this age can help remove any shame or guilt that we have as parents. And we can let go of the feeling like we are doing something wrong. We don't have to take the blame for their normal and expected behavior. It's not our fault. We didn't necessarily do something wrong. Taking blame for your toddler's normal reactions and feelings can place that shame, guilt, and doubt into your heart. This can come out in many ways for us as parents, especially while we are in the heat of the moment, mid-tantrum, frustrated, exhausted, and potentially triggered. This will not help the situation at all. In fact, because our children feed off of our energy, our responses and reactions can make the situation worse. The good news here is that we also have the power to make the situation better with our energy and response. If we are able to calm ourselves down, we are able to help regulate our child's emotions better by creating a calm environment. This also helps our child to feel more secure by seeing that we are not panicking or freaking out. So if you find yourself in this moment, remember my message to you. This is developmentally normal and expected. Repeat this to yourself even when your child is not in meltdown mode. Knowing and expecting that this behavior is going to happen will make it seem less shocking and frustrating when it does. Though your feelings of surprise and frustration are always valid throughout that experience, and you are certainly not alone in this phase of childhood. To understand the toddler's experience a little better, consider this. As our babies grow into toddlers and young children, they have big feelings, just like we do. But unlike us, they do not have the coping skills that we've developed over our lifetime to handle them in a way that we perceive as more appropriate. Something else that these toddlers don't always have is a full vocabulary to explain to you what's going on in their world, what they need, or how they're feeling. That can be incredibly frustrating. To not be able to communicate with others, can you imagine? They also don't have the history that we have of experiencing these feelings for perspective. It means that the loss and sadness, fear and anger that they feel is just as big as our biggest moments of loss, sadness, fear, or anger, because they don't have anything else to compare it to. You taking their toy away from them might be the biggest loss that they've ever experienced. Each time they get hurt might be the worst pain that they've ever felt. Their reactions are proportionate to their perspective. even if it doesn't seem that way from our perspective. We might look at them and think that they're being overdramatic, difficult, or over the top, which can quickly turn into dismissing their experience and not taking it as an opportunity to teach them the coping skills necessary for their next biggest loss or pain. After we acknowledge that we don't need to take our child's behavior or meltdown personally because we understand their perspective and that it's developmentally normal, we can return to this question. What can we do to help in a situation where a child is angry and hitting as a response? I want to start by saying that every child is unique, and each situation is unique. While I am offering you tools, strategies, and a better understanding, please know that I am not pretending to have a magic answer that will solve your problem. These are tools to add to your tool belt. The more you have and firmly believe in, the better equipped that you will be to handle the situation, no matter how it transpires. The tools I will be giving you today are communication, both verbal and nonverbal, demonstration, redirecting, investigating further, and proactive tips to help your toddler navigate these future situations better, because they will happen again as you and your toddler learn these new skills. One last thing before I get into how I handle this situation. I want to talk about what not to do in the situation, because understanding why they don't work will help us to understand a more productive solution. There are two common reactions I see from parents in this situation that I hope will land gently with you. This is a safe space, free from judgment, and you are here to learn and grow with me. That alone shows that you are a good parent, wanting to help your child in the most healthy and productive way possible. For both of you, the first reaction that I commonly see is a communication error. It's saying, "Don't hit," or "Stop hitting," to your child. Our brains, even as adults, process the action being said before processing whether or not you are supposed to be taking that action. Which is why, if I tell you to not think about a pink elephant, you are likely to still picture a pink elephant. This is especially true for toddlers, whose brains are still learning and understanding language, interactions, and the world. It is so hard not to say these phrases. I catch myself still, to this day, saying them sometimes. But I will help you find ways to reframe these statements, and with time and practice, it will become a much more natural response for you. The next unproductive reaction that I see parents using is how they demonstrate action to their children. Teaching your child not to hit by hitting, smacking, or spanking is only reinforcing that hitting is acceptable. They are watching you for how you navigate the situation and will be basing their decisions on that. This means if you are showing them this action back, they are going to accept this as a good way to respond and would add to the reason why they are hurting someone back that they love and trust. It's also showing them that it's okay for someone they love and trust to hurt them. Knowing that my children are looking to me to demonstrate how I want them to handle a situation, what does that look like? How can I model the appropriate behavior for them? I want the child to quit hitting, so I won't hit, and I will show them what I would like instead, gentle and kind touch, and maybe redirecting to hitting something silly and more acceptable to be hit, like a pillow, because getting their feelings out in a healthier way is still productive. If you find yourself acting in a way that you are not proud of, I get it. I've been there. We all make mistakes. We all raise our voices from time to time, and we all lose our cool. This is not excusing outright abuse. I always have to say that because someone is bound to bring it up when excusing parents of making mistakes. It's what you do after that mistake that matters the most. You could focus on the fact that raising your voice or losing your cool just potentially taught your child how they deserve to be treated and how they should treat others. But getting stuck on that won't give you an opportunity to fix it, because that's what each mistake is, an opportunity. There is an opportunity to take accountability, to tell your child you are sorry and they don't deserve to be talked to or treated like that. This teaches them that they deserve accountability. They deserve apologies when they have been wronged or hurt, that their feelings matter and deserve to be acknowledged. It also teaches them how to properly apologize and hold themselves accountable. Okay, let's get straight into how I would handle this situation, because I know that is what you came here for. The first step is communicate. First, I would say, "Ouch, that hurt," to communicate verbally what I'm experiencing. And then I would look and act hurt to communicate non-verbally what I am experiencing. I have taught my son to say sorry and give a hug to comfort afterwards. It's okay if your child doesn't know that yet. That doesn't make the rest of my steps any less beneficial. I'll tell you towards the end of this episode how to work on teaching them sorry, along with a few other strategies that will help future situations like this. Because there will be more as your child learns this new behavior, new coping skills, and new language. It's not a one-time fix, it's a practice. And honestly, some of the best times to teach that lesson is outside of the triggered and emotional moment for them, like when they're in a good mood and having fun. The next step is to demonstrate. I will say gentle hands and demonstrate what gentle touch looks like. I will overly praise and be excited when this happens. Again, communicating with him both verbally and non-verbally to help his understanding of what I am experiencing, and also to demonstrate how he can communicate similar feelings back to me. Step number 3 is redirect. Then I will bring my son to a pillow that he can hit, or our ball pit where he can throw balls when he's mad, and turn that into a silly game of getting that action out of his system in a healthier and more acceptable way than hitting another person or throwing something at them. Even as adults, it can be really beneficial to find healthy and physical ways to get out negative energy and emotions from our bodies. Things like running, kickboxing, mini dance parties, or even screaming into a pillow can release a lot of energy building up and allow us to return to a more regulated state. We just need to show our children healthy ways to use their body for that release. If the toddler is at this point and still continuing to hit, smack, or throw things, the next thing you need to do is investigate further. There is probably another need here that needs to be met. Are they tired, hungry, sick, or teething? If you are able to communicate with them to find that out, whether that's through spoken word or sign language, investigate that further. Or try process of elimination and start offering some of those solutions to find the deeper problem that might be happening. Hopefully, you'll be able to find the source of the issue, but at the very least, you will be changing your child's surrounding to the table to eat or the bedroom to sleep. And this alone might be enough of a distraction in itself for them to change their mood a little. Now, as promised, I also have tips and tricks for how to prevent meltdowns and how to successfully equip both yourself and your toddler to have a better experience during these meltdowns in the future. Yes, we should be doing these tricks during meltdowns, but that actually isn't the most beneficial time to teach them some of these coping skills or language. When they are in the middle of a meltdown, they are having an intense emotional stress response, which does not allow them to retain as much information as they could if they are in a much more calmer state. This is why I said it's important to also teach these things outside of the triggered and emotional moment as well, like when they're in a good mood and having fun. Arm your children with the proper vocabulary necessary to understand during their meltdown and your guidance through it, teaching them both verbally and non-verbally to say and show sorry, gentle hands, and what hit means are a great place to start. You can teach them sorry by having them repeat the word, use sign language for the word, and to offer a hug or a form of comfort afterwards. Teaching them gentle hands would look like touching their cheek or arm softly and having them do the same back to you while saying, "Gentle hands, gentle hands." And teaching them what the word hit means by having them play hit, a big pillow, while you say and show hit on the pillow. When you are teaching them these words, maybe apart from hit, be over the top excited when they accurately say or show you the word. Make it fun with lots of smiles, clapping, laughs, and silliness. They will quickly understand how happy you become when they are responding in these healthy ways. That is positive reinforcement. But consistency in this practice is key. Continually showing them how to treat you, how to get out and cope with these big feelings will come more naturally to them over time and with practice. It also requires loads of patience, which is so hard when you don't have the time, energy, or capacity to give them this. Just know it's normal to struggle and have your own big emotions while they are experiencing their big emotions. You are not alone in feeling overwhelmed by it all. Reach out to a therapist, your partner, or a trusted friend when you need to vent. And because I know all of this can be super overwhelming, I have an episode on taking days off as a mother to prevent burnout and resentment that can truly help you. I'll have it linked in my show notes for you, along with my extensive list of self-care ideas on my website to care for yourself during this process. Thank you for tuning in to the Root and Rise podcast. As always, I am so grateful to have you here with me today. I hope that this has brought you some insight and inspired you to root and rise in your own life. I love hearing from you. So please follow me on Instagram at Root and Rise Podcast and be sure to send your comments, questions, or just reach out to say hello. I love making new friends. If you would like to review notes on today's episode, head over to rootandriseblog.com. Make sure to subscribe. And if you loved what you heard today, or know someone who would benefit from hearing it, please take a screenshot and tag me to share this on your social media. My name's Brianne, and until next time, I'll be sending you so much light so you too can root and rise.